Hello and welcome to the podcast all about becoming a health coach. I'm Megan McCrory, a health coach in training at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Each week I recap what I've learned and how I'm applying those lessons to my life. If this is your first time tuning in, I'm happy you found the podcast and a very special welcome to you. You may want to go back and listen from the beginning to hear more about my health coaching journey. I also want to take a second to say thank you for listening to my show. And I also want to thank those of you who have actually emailed me, written a review, or recommended the show to a friend. You really are my motivation to keep producing the show, even though it's more difficult now with my schedule. Thank you for being patient, as my episodes are not released on such a regular basis right now. So thank you. I can't say it enough. Okay, let's dive right into episode 17. This week is module 15. We're introduced to the six-month program. We're also introduced to the value and why the six-month program works, how to close the deal, which sounds very salesy, and also some add-ons for the program. So this was the module we've all been waiting for, right? We finally get to hear about how to structure a program. I love to learn, but at some point you need to take action and actually put what you're learning into motion. And you need to do that because you can learn and learn and you all you want in your own home, but unless you actually put it into action, you're not making a difference in someone else's life or your community or the world. So here we are, module 15, and we're now learning how to implement the six-month program, or introduce it anyway. So first of all, let me go back a little bit. In episode 11, we were introduced to health histories. This is the meeting with a prospective client to review their health concerns. It's basically an interview to see if you and the client want to work together. Once you've completed the health history, the next part is to ask if they would like to work with you. And now you need to close the deal, which indeed sounds very salesy, but you are at this point basically selling yourself and your service. So you need to get comfortable with this part of the conversation. Otherwise you're just doing this as a hobby and for some friends. But if you want to make money and you want to make a living out of it, you're going to need to be able to get comfortable with, my program costs this much money. We had a guest speaker this week, Jane Ashley, who spoke to us about the intuitive approach to closing the deal. To start off with, there are several things you want to have thought out before you even go to the health history. So first of all, you want to know who your target client is. And this is kind of like a chicken and egg kind of thing, right? But you want to try to define this up front, and that will help you later on when you meet with prospective clients to decide basically if you want to work with them, right? You will probably meet people with whom you don't want to work with. You need to have a plan for those people too. Have some recommendations ready for what is another health coach, whether it's another health coach or just someone, like some coaching advice you want to leave them with. Have prepared a statement why you wouldn't be a good fit. And I know this seems a little crazy because don't you want all the clients you can handle? Well, not really. If you want clients that you want clients that you know you can help, and also that will energize you and your work, not someone whose issues are too complex or energy zappers or don't mesh with your energy going on. Now, I said chicken and egg because you're saying, well, I haven't even gotten a first client yet. How do I know what my market is? And that's going to be another topic for another episode. But let me just leave you with this, is you have your target market already in your area, in your vision. You just need to see it. Okay. I'm just going to leave you with that. We're going to move on today about this, and later we're going to talk about target markets. So speaking of energy, the next thing you'll want to do before a health history is to say a little mantra. Do a little deep breathing, maybe meditate, focus your thoughts and your energy on the person you're about to meet. It sounds a little woo-woo, but these are small focusing steps that will ensure that you are present with the person and that they will notice that you're completely with them mentally. You need to walk the talk, and that means practicing mindfulness also in your own life. You should do this before each session, no matter if it's the first session or the 12th session. It should be done before each session, and it's super relaxing, and it helps also for you to alleviate any anxiety or nervousness that you might have before going into the session. Jane Ashley stated, quote, "To approach your health history sessions as an opportunity to heal the client energetically and to love them unconditionally, regardless of the outcome," end quote. So if you go into a health history feeling desperate to sign a client, that will show through to them. I don't care how good your poker face is. If you approach the session with a spirit to help the client, then they're really going to feel that as well. So you can actually take this approach really to all areas of your life. You know, do you have a tough meeting coming up? Do you have a difficult discussion with your child's teacher? Anything where you anticipate that you're going to struggle or that you're going to not feel comfortable taking those deep breaths and consider how you would approach the situation will help you navigate it better if and when it ever occurs. Okay. So Jane Ashley walked us through her 6 key steps to go through the health history in order to sign for your services, kind of like what you should do. So the first thing is to be a detective, right? You have your health history form, which could be your guide. If this is filled out in advance, this is good, but you can also just use it as like your agenda for the discussion. Like, so if you need to remind yourself, what's the next thing to ask? Make sure you're asking all those open-ended, high mileage questions. You want to trust your intuition. Listen and let the conversation flow. I mean, this is probably the hardest thing for me. When I listen back through the sessions that I've had, because I record my sessions to listen to myself, not necessarily to listen to my client, but I hear that I often interrupt. I feel like I'm not interrupting while in the conversation, but I definitely interrupt too much. And I also realize that I do that thing where you're listening and then I have the next thing I want to say, so I'm not really listening to the rest of what they're saying because I just want to add to the conversation. Oh, this is the hardest thing to do, is to focus completely. As Joshua Rosenthal says, he's the founder of IIN, like it's a really good time to practice like listening to your breathing, like just focus on your breathing and listen to them and keep your mind empty of anything that you want to say next, because it's less important than listening to them right now. So that's a huge stumbling block I have that I work on. And I try to work on that outside of the coaching as well, which is good. You can also share from your own life, kind of, you know, be human, don't necessarily be expert. I mean, they want an expert, but also they want to know that you're fallible, because we all are, right? Number 2, ask them, what do they want to change? Or you could say, what are your main health concerns right now? You're really trying to see trying to get them to clearly state what they want to work on. And then be quiet and let them come to that. She calls this honoring the silence. Give it the time, be patient, and just sit there and wait for them to come back. If they say, I don't know, well, you know, then you could have some more high mileage questions, but or you could also just say, well, just take a couple minutes. We're not in any rush. Just think about, you know, what in your life are your main health concerns, and leave it there and let them really get down into it. And then once after they tell you what their main health concerns are, ask them, why do you want to do this? What's the reason behind it? And this is going to be more important later on when we work on, you know, those small lifestyle changes. It's really important to understand why they want to lose 10 pounds. Why do they not want to have headaches at night? You know, I mean, there's always a good reason behind it, and it's good for us to know what that is. And the fourth thing is to make sure that you reflect back to them verbally what they said, and then ask them, is that right? Did I hear you correctly? If not, you need to keep going kind of back and forth a little bit, which is not a bad thing to do in order to understand what they're saying. And then her fifth tip or key or stage was to ask them if they have, you know, imagine that you've already achieved this. What does it look like? What does it feel like? How is your life different? And then the final thing is to say, I can help you with this. Would you like to hear how we do it together? Now, on this sixth stage, this is where you can say, after going through all of those other things, maybe you find out that this person's like got a super complex case, that you are way out of your depths. Or during the course of the conversation, this person's personality completely rubs you the wrong way, or for whatever reason, if you don't want to work with them. So step six is, if you want to work with them, you can say, I can help you with this. Would you like to hear how we can do it together? If you don't want to work with them, you can say, I understand, I hear all your things, and either A, I'm, you know, you here's some referrals. I feel like you could be better served by XYZ professional, whatever that is, or I'm not comfortable yet in my practice to support you with this, but can I give you some, you know, a little bit of coaching before we leave? Like I said before, have something prepared there so you can make the choice whether you want to work with them or not. Okay. So after you ask them, would you like to hear how we do it together? You know, they're going to give you a verbal okay. Now you've basically have the freedom to explain to them the 6-month program and how you will support their personal wellness goals. So I'm going to give you a little break right now. And after the break, I'll tell you more about the 6-month program. Are you interested in becoming a health coach? I can highly recommend the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. It has really changed my life and my future. I really can't tell you how much it's changed my life. As an IIN ambassador, I'd be really happy to talk with you one-on-one if you have any questions. You can start off by emailing me at becominghealthcoach@gmail.com and I'll set up a referral for you, or we can talk on the phone and I can tell you everything I know and answer any questions you have. As an ambassador, I do make a small commission if you choose to join the school and tell them I've referred you, but I wouldn't recommend it, you know, joining the school if I wasn't already 100% sure that this will make a difference in your life. If you can do it, I would recommend doing it. They do have payment options. They do have other things, and they have people there to also talk with you about how this works. So if that's something you'd like to do, again, start off by emailing me at becominghealthcoach.com and at gmail.com, and I will call you back. All right. The Institute for Integrative Nutrition, also called IIN, teaches its students to offer a 6-month program for one-on-one clients. The 6-month program is not like scripted or pre-planned, but it is unique to each client. And here is the structure of the 6-month program. Meet with the client every 2 weeks for a total of 12 sessions over 6 months. The sessions can be in person or virtual, either by phone or video call. Sessions should be held on the same day and time of the week for the whole program. The coach's job is to ask the right questions, listen actively, and provide 1 to 3 recommendations for the next 2 weeks. Sounds simple because it is simple. Keep in mind, this is just a framework for structuring the 6-month program. The real magic happens in each session with your client. There are additional things you can add on to the program to make it more your own or to add more value to your target market. Some of those things include grocery store tours, pantry makeovers, books, handouts, cooking classes, recipes, group workshops, email support, and more. We'll get into a little bit of those things at the end of today's episode. So IIN provides all the forms and information you need as the health coach that you need to start working one-on-one with a client. And these forms, and I know it sounds weird to start off with forms, but actually this is where it starts off. So the forms may vary between different schools, but each one should have at least like a program agreement, some kind of commitment agreement, a schedule, welcome handout, goals, payment authorization, and so on. So we're going to go first through the three forms that I think are the most important, that you should know the most and that you should really customize to what you need. The first is the program agreement. This is the contract between you as the health coach and your client. And it really is a contract. Okay. The document states what is in the program. So like what I was just saying, two sessions a month for 6 months. It also states if you do any extra add-ons. So it talks about when it starts, how much it costs, the disclaimers, your confidentiality, legal information. It's all in this program agreement. And it's important that this is signed before your first session, along with the payment for the first session, at least. The second form that's important is the commitment agreement. And this is really for the client to sign, stating that they will be coachable and they're going to follow through on their commitments. And it sounds a little silly, I know, but it really is important for the client to acknowledge and sign that they need to be open to coaching and that they themselves are committed to reach their goals. The last important form to get from your client is payment authorization. So for many new coaches, this is the part they dread, declaring the amount of the program. In short, asking for money. But this is the one most important part to distinguish you as a health coach from just like a person who has lots of good advice about health and wellness. When you are going through and talking with your client about what you would do, and you know telling them we would meet this, you know, you meet this many times, and so on and so forth, and if that sounds good for you, the program will cost X number of dollars, and you can say like X number of dollars per session, per month, or for the whole unit. From a marketing standpoint, it typically sounds better if you say so many X number of dollars per session, and then you can give your client an opportunity to pay for that all at once, pay it in two installments. Most people recommend no less than just two installments, or no more than two installments, because then you have they have the opportunity to kind of cancel and then be done with it. So you want to make sure that you either get all the money up front or maybe half at the beginning and half in the middle. And either they're going to come back to you and say, that's too expensive, or I can't afford that, or whatever. And then again, if you think about before you go into the situation, all of the different but complaints, the retorts that you might get, and have a good response for those. Like, think about it. If you were in their shoes, what would you say? What would you ask? And this is going back to some of those add-ons. For example, you could say, if you pay for everything upfront in one lump sum, I'm going to add on X, Y, and Z to your package. So it gives more value for them to add on. And it might be something you would have anyway given them. Or let's say it's not a cost out of your pocket necessarily. As a trained health coach, you have obtained those skills to help people along their health journey. And often coaches underrate their service because they want everyone to be healthy. You know, health shouldn't be for the rich, right? But it's an important step for your clients to pay for the service. It shows that they are invested in their own health and that they will likely be more coachable than someone who doesn't pay or is paying such a negligible amount that it's basically a throwaway. I noticed this also if you try to gift a program to somebody else. The person who's been gifted the program you know, they might not be as coachable as someone who is paying out of pocket. And I'm not trying to say that you need to, you know, stick to your number and that's the only number you have. You can always decide to have a sliding scale, work in a different way with someone if you really want to serve a market that doesn't have as much liquid resources. The point is that you need to think about this. You can't just ignore the money part. For any coaches that are out there that struggle with their pricing or finding their worth or accepting their worth, I would really suggest to get some coaching from a pricing professional, which I have done as well, kind of as a networking thing. It is really super amazing to talk with someone who's a professional about pricing. Not a marketing person, someone who specifically helps you understand how to position your product, which is a service. If you expect to make business from your coaching, you need to know what your worth is. And that's a very good practice to go through. Once you get comfortable talking about money, you're going to need a way to accept payments. IIN is based in the US, so they talk about paper checks, cash, credit card as ways to accept payments. Now, you can take post-dated checks and cash before each session, which is kind of, for me, super outdated. You can also offer a small discount for one lump sum, like I said, or you could give an extra additional, like, oh, I'll give you an extra water bottle or a book or something, or you can take monthly payments. It's all really up to you and your personal style. If you choose to accept credit cards, you're going to need a third-party app or device to accept those payments. Some of the most common ones out there are Venmo, PayPal, Square, Stripe, DirectPay. My only experience is with Square. I set this up for my father's business, and I would say it's pretty user-friendly because my dad does not do well with technology. He's a farmer and has huge calloused fingers, so he does not text or type on the phone at all, but he can run a credit card payment with Square, so that tells you how easy it is. All of these third-party providers take a percentage of the amount charged, so be prepared for that and to account for it. Now, in the past couple years, and I think this is where you see some of the IIN lectures are a little outdated maybe, is that there is now electronic transfer of funds between accounts. The one I've heard of, one was called Pop Money, one is called Zella. There might be more out there where you can, Apple Pay. So you can pay, if two people have Apple accounts, they can pay wirelessly to each other. So really explore it. I would say I'm trying not to use any kind of credit card account. I live in Europe where people transfer money electronically to each other's accounts with no fees all the time. And it's a beautiful thing. I feel like the US is really behind the game on this. Most other countries do a lot of more electronic banking. So you can transfer money all these different ways with avoiding credit cards and other fees, and it's instantly there. So I would encourage you to look at those other methods that don't require credit cards, but depending on your target market, you might want to still have those capabilities of accepting a credit card. So in order to accept credit cards, you're also going to need your client to complete a credit card authorization form, which IIN provides in this case. I'm currently focused on clients only working with clients in my area so I can work with them in person. Eventually, I might accept clients from other parts of the world, but for now, this also helps me with managing one currency as well. I have set up a PayPal account in the US for potential US clients, but I haven't really tested that feature out yet. That covers the basic forms. I'm currently seeing two clients, so I've had the opportunity to go through these forms twice with real clients. Both times I had the forms all printed and available during the health history so that after the closing the deal, I was able to go right to the forms and finalize everything. And during the second health history, I also had the forms on my iPad. So I had gotten a new iPad with the pencil, and instead of using the hard copy, I instead had the client sign the digital version with my Apple Pencil, and then I emailed it to them immediately. So this also helps keep paper waste down and helps me to not you know, everything's on my iPad, so I don't accidentally forget something. I can just make another copy on my iPad. It's really cool. This way we both had a copy and I'm not dealing with that paper unless we absolutely need it. It worked really, really well, and I can recommend it if you're comfortable with that level of technology. If you're not, paper is fine. I store the forms in my Google Drive, and then later on I attached them to my client's account in Practice Better, which is the customer relationship management tool that I use. So I will eventually move away from IIN forms and make them more my own. Like if I, you know, whenever I get branding and colors and stuff, but marketing and branding is really not my priority at this point. Although it's super, super fun to see your name and your brand and your logo. Oh, it's so exciting, right? But my word for the year is focus. And right now my focus has to be the modules and this podcast and getting through the school while working a 100% full-time job and having a life. My treat to myself is after I'm done with the class in January, then I will treat myself to working with a marketing and branding professional and to establish my brand, my colors, my fonts, all that good stuff. And at that point, then I'm going to be ready to make my own forms and move away from IIN. But until then, they are super, super helpful. And you can edit the forms because they give you the editable versions. Like, for example, I needed to add some more disclaimers to my forms and website because I had to agree on this with my full-time employer. So, so you can still edit the forms from IIN. And once you've sorted out your program agreement, commitment agreement, and the payment authorization, you're really ready to start getting into the coaching relationship. And this is really then the fun part. Before you and the client can begin down the road, you need to know where you're going, right? There are a couple of tools IIN gives to help you define the path. I'm going to talk about just one in this episode because the next episode I'm going to talk about the other one. The first is the goals form. The goals form, or whatever, something similar to that, is important because it's the framework for your sessions with the client. The key to coaching is to make sure that the client is making the direction clear on what goals are most important to them. As the coach, you need to follow where they go and try not to push them somewhere you want them to be. The form IIN provides has three goals for month one, three goals for month three, and three goals for month six. My first client completed this goal sheet between the health history and our first session. So when we met for our first session, we were able to start right away looking at what she had written. Now my second client didn't complete the sheet before the first session, so we did it together. And you'll need to be flexible because, you know, when it comes to basically what the client does and when. Now I had specifically asked the second client to have it ready before the first session. And so I was in that mindset that it was supposed to be done. And I actually was a little frustrated that it wasn't because I thought, okay, we're starting off great, right? You didn't even do your goals before the first session. And then I immediately had to turn that around and go, okay, nope, this is where we are. This is where the client is. Again, you have to meet the client where they are. And obviously they had not done it before the session. So we worked through the goal sheet together and everything was fine. And I learned a big lesson. Either I need to remind the client to do it before or come prepared to do it with them. And I need to be open to that. So that was a learning step for me. Once those goals are set and clear to both you and the client, the work can begin. The rest of the first session can be getting to know your client better, asking lots of questions to keep them talking, and pay close attention to what they're saying, but also to their body language. IIN provides a great list of high mileage questions. Those are the types of questions that cannot be answered with a yes or no, but they have to be elaborated on. I review this list before each of my sessions to kind of put those questions back in my mind. That can be part of your process for each session. Most of the coaching is basically intuition paired with a lot of tools that you will learn as you go through your health coaching courses. We will go into coaching more in later episodes of the podcast, so stay tuned to that. Today's episode is just mostly about the six-month program. So lastly, we're going to turn our attention to the program add-ons. There are so many things you can add on to your basic six-month program, basically to add more value to your client. It's also a great way to keep your price set higher, as I mentioned before. If the client thinks it's too much, you can easily add on one or more extras for the client to get more value out of the program, rather than lowering the cost of your program or discounting it. Two add-ons that IIN suggest are the pantry makeover and the grocery store tour. The pantry makeover can be super helpful for a client, but it's also a little stressful to have someone rummaging through their kitchen. So here are some tips on how to perform a successful pantry makeover. And before I begin, I should tell you that I haven't done a pantry makeover or a grocery store tour yet. As soon as I do, I'll let you know how it went for me. So first up, tip number one is to do it at a time, do the pantry makeover at a time when there's minimal interruptions. I think this one is pretty obvious, but it should be said anyway. Tip number two, put the client at ease. Start the session with a few minutes of kind of like how you would a normal session. So if they're nervous about the makeover, explain, you know, kind of explore why are they nervous, ask what they hope to get out of it, and how is the activity and how this activity can be helpful for you as a coach to better support them on the path. Tip number three, get a bunch of food out at once instead of like going through one by one. So that means like from the refrigerator, the freezer, the pantry, wherever it's coming from, kind of like get it out on a table or on the countertop so that the impact can be a little bit bigger. You know, grouping the foods by calorie density, for example, is a great way to demonstrate and teach the importance of eating low calorie dense foods. Having them understand, you know, looking at the food that they have stored away kind of out together. Number four, read labels together. First, if the majority of their food is packaged, this can be a sign that they also need to eat more fresh, unprocessed food. So that's the first thing. How many packaged foods do they have? Second, reading labels together is a great way to educate the client and to empower them for the future. Help them by providing a list of different ways like sugar can be added without using the word sugar, or some names of additives or other ingredients that we know is probably not a good thing for them to eat on a regular basis. Tip number five, look for dietary trends. Do they have a lot of sweets, a lot of salty food, heavy in one group or completely void in another group? This is also a great way to show them, look, you don't have any of this in your in your cabinet. Tip number six is to make a plan with the client and set realistic goals. So as with all coaching, we want to make small changes that will help them create a long-term shift. So this is important as well when it comes to their pantry makeover, as well as it does because everything they've bought is some kind of habit, right? So they go to the grocery store and they might buy the same thing each time they go. So that's a habit that you have to change or that could change in order to help them live a healthier lifestyle. And with all habits, this takes time. So you need to create those small, realistic goals. Tip number seven is to talk about how the food is prepared. So ask your client to tell you how do they prepare their meals? What kind of oils do they use? What kind of flavors and seasonings and spices and cooking methods do they use? And this can help you get a much better picture of their eating style and also the level of comfort that they have in the kitchen. I know some people who are just not comfortable in the kitchen, they have no idea that they could make something taste much better by having lots of different seasonings, or perhaps they could have less calories by changing oil or a better oil that maybe is more healthy for them. So all of those things can help you understand what their level of comfort is in the kitchen and might help you with further understanding their level of comfort in the kitchen and with cooking. Tip number eight, listen and be supportive. The most important thing is to make this activity a growing experience for your relationship together. You need to do this by remaining non-judgmental. creating a super safe space for them to be open and honest, and that will translate into a better relationship and more opportunities for you to help the client grow in the future because they're going to trust you. Tip number 9, acknowledge all the good choices that they have already made. Super important. We often focus on the negative without first praising the positive. And lastly, tip number 10 is to consider then following up with the grocery store tour. This is a great follow-up, but what you'll want to do is make sure you take notes during the pantry makeover and show the client, once you get to the grocery store, how to make better choices in the store. This is an awesome opportunity. We're going to need to stop it here for this episode, but please join me next time when we will talk about the circle of life, which is another tool that you can help understand where the client is in the rest of their life, not just with their food choices. We're also going to talk about coaching through primary food and relationships and how that plays into someone's life. So I have great news. The podcast is now available on Google Play. I'm super excited. So no matter where you listen from, I would really appreciate if you could rate and review the podcast. It helps other listeners discover the show. It really does. And also, it just makes my day to see someone giving me 5 stars and telling me that my show has been beneficial to them. So if it's been beneficial to you, please do that for me. I would appreciate it. Also, please email me. Just tell me where you are. How are you doing? What has the podcast done for you? You can email me at becomingahealthcoach@gmail.com. And you can check the show notes out at mybestself.fit. Thank you again for spending this time with me. I'm Megan McCrory, and you've been listening to How I'm Becoming a Health Coach. Until next time, stay happy and healthy.